Universität Hamburg.
Thank you very much. Was ist das an? Ja, great. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you about our strategy and plans. And this is striving for efficiency. And for us, NEC, efficiency simply means sustained performance on real applications per TCO. That includes the cost for purchasing, as well as this includes the cost for the power consumption, for instance. This works. Now, this implies, and this is what our customers are telling us, that we have to choose the appropriate hardware for each type of application. In the past, already since the last 10 or 15 years, there was almost no site which just owned one big system. And we are pretty aware of the fact that there are applications which are particularly suitable for a certain kind of architecture, be it a cluster, be it a vector machine, or be it a GPU-type machine. So for us to do this kind of business and provide such kinds of hybrid solutions, it clearly calls for a complete product portfolio, which might be a scalar cluster or a scalar huge SMP, we have this, which might be GPU nodes, Matsuoka-san has this, and we successfully contributed to TITEC 2, and there might be the need for a vector system. Now the last one is the thing where NEC probably caused some irritation in the past. I can clearly tell you, as I did the last 2 years, this will continue. And altogether, this only makes sense if there is a seamless integration to ease the usage of the system for system administrators and users. Now, why are we still believing in vector machines? This is a little bit old. This is Earth Simulator 2 and Jaguar before. Steve Scott just said they upgraded it. So this is the old Jaguar. But what you see there is that in terms of peak performance, the Earth Simulator was certainly not favorable. In terms of FFT, it was okay. In terms of stream, we were slightly off. But nonetheless, we had a nice high sustained performance. But if you then scale this to the power consumption of the two systems, you find that the SX system, the Earth Simulator 2, was more power efficient, much more power efficient on the FFT, and it was equally power efficient on the stream. So what does this tell you? For me, a real application is sort of a spectrum. The worst case is memory very intensive, the stream, and the other one is relatively well behaved, that is something like an FFT. So a real application should ideally be in between those two factors, between one and two. So this tells you that a vector system can be pretty power efficient. We know this pretty well because there are two cases in Germany where we sold an SX8 and an SX9 where we won because many vendors could provide the performance requirement within the budget, but we were the only one to provide the performance requirement within the power envelope of the site. That's largely unknown, but it's a fact. Now, we want to go for better power efficiency with the next generation, and that is relatively easy because we know from the SX9 it was a huge SMP and 70% of the power consumption was in the memory interface. Now, the system already had a high sustained performance on real applications. As I told you, we won with this, and it was green by efficiency, as I have proven by this comparison before. Now we have to go on, we have to proceed. We will enhance the system. It will have an enhanced vector architecture, but it will be the same kind of architecture, namely vector. We will certainly look for technological innovation, and we have to slightly adapt the parallelization paradigm because we are going to save on these 70% of power consumption in the system. No, it doesn't work. Yeah, because the 70% were in a huge crossbar. That was a big SMP-type system with a huge memory bandwidth, a totally flat shared memory, so that was in total 560 LSIs. 16 of those were CPUs, the rest was crossbar. Now the idea is we make a multi-core vector chip and then we save on the crossbar. And therefore we can save at least those 70% plus what technology will add to this on top. So the next generation system will be a single chip multi-core SMP node. Each SMP node is one chip. It will be attached to standard DIMMs and memory controller and all these things are on chip. It will have four cores and feature 250 plus gigaflops. The single core will be in the range of 60 gigaflops. Now, that was too fast. Now, you know what the features of the old conventional SX6 series was. That was always the compatibility from the generations. It was a vector architecture. It was always featuring large bandwidths. This is the virtue since ages of vector machines. It was high-performance cores. Our individual cores typically were on well-suited applications much faster than anything else. And this is the first step to tackle scalability issues of user codes. We were featuring large shared memory and high sustained performance in the double-digit range. Now, the future is slightly different. Almost everything is taken over, but we will have this one-chip SMP node, which is sort of a smaller type SMP. And we will have, therefore, to scale to higher numbers of nodes in the future. That should not be a problem. Now, how do we position this? The next generation will have a core which is about as fast as the Earth Simulator one node. For me, this is somehow surprising and exciting at the same point. The individual core, I mean, I was there when we had the Earth Simulator. And the whole chip will be in the range that we had before with an SX8. So it's somehow exciting because I know both systems, they were damn healthy, and we have good reasons to believe that the next generation system will also be very healthy, means very balanced architecture. And then for the typical architecture for the individual core and four cores will make up one chip and therefore one SMP node. They will be connected with a 256 something gigabyte per second bandwidth to the main memory. And the memory controllers and the RCUs, that is our interface to the crossbar, to the messaging for MPI, and the interface for the I/O. This will be all on one die, and therefore it will be pretty efficient in terms of power consumption, in terms of latencies, in terms of utilization and all this. And what is important is we keep a 1 byte per flop bandwidth. We still want to continue to be the bandwidth leader in the industry. And altogether, these systems will then be equipped with IXS interconnects. We will have a standard cluster with 512 nodes, which is 131 teraflops. But please don't forget, we don't strive for peak. We want real user performance, and if you want to compare us on Linpack, we will always be in bad shape. But if you take real user code, that is okay. And then there will be an enhanced cluster, which is somehow just a different kind of IXS topology, and that will be a 4 petaflop machine with 16K nodes. This IXS is our proprietary IXS interconnect. It's not InfiniBand, and it has some features. For instance, it has a fast global communication. And that is how the packaging looks like. Each individual node, which is one chip, comes on a card with 31 centimeters by 11 centimeters. On the backside, you have the memory DIMMs, which are standard memory. 8 of those are packaged together to connect to the I/O cards, PCI. And the individual chips of the CPUs, they are cooled by water. That way, about 50% of the cooling comes by water cooling. The other 50% will be air cooling. This is something which is increasingly important. Cooling is very often nowadays limiting at the site. You might be in the situation where you cannot install more just because you don't have the cooling capacity. And 64 of those nodes, that means 8 of these 8 node units, will make one rack, which is 16 teraflops. Please don't compare this to a rack of Westmere or something, and this will be 30 kilowatt, and that way it's about 10 times more power efficient than the SX9 was. You see, that is really our focus, the power efficiency. This should be a green machine. And then we have something which is really striving for our future. I told you the real site needs everything. It needs a little bit of scalar. It needs scalar nodes with GPUs. That can be a very good machine. And there is no application portfolio which can only fit to one machine. And therefore, we are thinking about a usage environment where you are combining these things. This is a huge requirement for software. This means the batch scheduler needs to know about it, and you have to have a parallel file system. So that is all in the works, and it will be delivered with the next generation. And now the most important thing, I think, the NEC top management has advised the development to investigate further. We know that we really caused confusion in the market. We are now already starting to think about the generation after the next generation, And we will carefully think about everything, and we know our user input. Everything is on the table. That means technology, choice, architecture, and also issues of market economy are something that we are going to think about. Thank you very much.
Many thanks, Dr. Fischer. The first question, please, Satoshi.
So, you know, bandwidth is very important, as Seymour Cray have put it, who invented vector computing. And, you know, machines like Swami too. We have a number of applications that's sustaining petaflop range performance already. You know, many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty much realize the fact that we have bandwidth in a system sustained by effectively vector processing that's modern version being done by GPUs. Now, when I look at your parameters today that you presented today, they don't look very attractive at all to me, because when I can't tell you because I'm under NDA and all that, but when I look at the numbers, none of the numbers I see are compelling enough that I should be investing into a proprietary architecture, whereas I can get very similar performance or even better on GPUs and mics. So what would be your winning strategy, given that now you have competitors in the vectors in this commodity field, which could be as good or even better than yours?
First of all, if you look at the rare numbers, the pure numbers, I can understand that they are not compelling to you. Nonetheless, I believe that this architecture, also the usability of this architecture, is appealing enough to make us win in quite some projects with a set of user codes. You are right, we have to be very cautious and we have to be very good. Also, our benchmarkers have to be very good. But we wouldn't do this if we wouldn't believe that we could not win. Nonetheless, there will be competition, it will be fierce fights. We are aware of this and we are looking forward to it.
The second question from Happy Sutole.
Thank you, Dr. Fischer. I think your closing remarks that you bring in confusion to the market, I'm one of those people who are confused. I think NEC has been doing very well with vector machines, and your success, especially with the Earth Simulator 1, mm-hmm. it's quite evident. And why would you really start getting into the oversubscribed x86 market whilst you had such an advantage rather than focusing on what you know best?
Sorry, perhaps I did not fully understand. This was about x86 type memory bandwidth per performance. That is your point, yeah? Okay, thank you. Well, in fact, in terms of power consumption as well as in terms of cost, the bandwidth is a very important thing. It's a very important contribution. And we learn that we are fighting there in a way which is sometimes not profitable. So we have to adapt, and therefore, since ages, this is being reduced. Now we are forced even more by power consumption. We could build machines which have a better ratio, but then you have to think, for instance, about the pin count and such things, because interface to the board is important then. You have seen this with SX9. So that is a difficult way to go, and is a costly way to go. So we have to find other things. Now, we are not totally neglecting this. We had with the SX9 our first implementation of what we call the ADB. Think about it as a vector cache, but it's programmable. We didn't want a pure cache because this somehow is hard to control by the user sometimes. This vector cache, the next generation will be in this NGV. And we learned quite some lessons. To be honest, we learned also lessons that were not so pleasant. But the next generation ADB will definitely be improved. And moreover, our software, our compiler, will learn more about automatically using it. So that way, you are using locality in codes. And most codes that I personally know from physics and meteorology and such things, they exploit some data locality. So if we think about, let's say, a factor of 2 of cache reusage, which is normal on good code on scalar machines, we are in fact by something like 2 bytes per flop and not just 1 byte per flop. So I believe that this data reusage in this ADB is a key to the future performance for our machine as well. It is present in codes. It's present basically in the physics. It's a matter of physics that there is data locality. So I think we have a good hope to cope with this. Otherwise, it's going to be very expensive. We could build something more like 8 byte per flop, but nobody wouldn't buy.